record to this computer. All right, welcome to the Toddcast. our first live stream. This is so crazy. Technology. I am John. With me, as always, is Bo.
How we doing, y'all?
And tonight we have a very special guest, one of my dearest friends and con-going buddies, Matt Klein from Valiant Entertainment. How you doing, Matt?
I am doing great, and I'm so excited to be here on the very first live podcast. This has been everything and more that I was hoping for. I can't wait. We've already peaked, guys.
You're right. I mean,
it's all downhill from here. The pressure's off. It's great.
Exactly. There's no, we can't make it any cooler than it is right now. All right. So just some real quick housekeeping stuff. We get some events coming up. We have the Comet Cave. Seriously, this will be the last time we offer it this year sale. This is the liquidation of the VFW. We still got tons of quarter books. Todd just emailed me about dumping a ton more books in there. So make sure you guys check that out. It's every Saturday now, or it's this coming Saturday and the one after that. And then we skip over Halloween and we go right into the secret warehouse sale weekend, which is our warehouse on the other side of Elwood. And that's going to be real crazy. All kinds of books that have never been seen before. Todd literally bought a bunch of tractor trailers filled with comic books and just dumps them in the warehouse for everybody to dig through. Buck a piece on Friday, 50 cents on Saturday, and a quarter on Sunday. No box price, cash only. Bring your jacket. It will be cool. So
that's not the only reason it's cool, though. It's just cool to go to the sale and get some dollar books for sure.
It is, man. I mean, you have no idea how many people come out for like our crazy dollar sales. Like our Elwood store will basically do like a month's worth of business in a day. That's nuts.
Amazing.
I know. It's awesome. And then when all the stores have like half off sales or quarter sales, we usually see a big bump then. So there are a lot of dollar divers and bin divers in our area. Bo has actually a lot of guys that come to his store and dive. It's pretty crazy.
A ton of dollar books. So
it's true.
Come all. See what you can find.
You're still finding stuff. Like we have
it
guys.
Is.
Yeah, like we have guys that are CBSI guys that come out of Columbus that pass through and then hit all the stores, and they'll go into Bo's store, and every time they're there, they find new shit. It's crazy.
That's what I tell people. It's never tapped out. It's just, it refills itself. It replenishes itself on its own whenever new news comes out and all this crap. There's always something in there. So
it's true. It's true. Mm-hmm.
It's just got Wolverine's healing factor. It just constantly regenerates.
It does.
Yep. All right, we're going to talk comics real quick before we get too far into it. I'm going to go first. This is my first book. It's called Vane from Oni Press. So I thought this book was going to be a little cooler than it was. The art seemed to kind of be a little too basic for me, but I kind of dug it because it's like FBI guys trying to figure out who's stealing blood from blood banks, and then you find out at the end they're vampires and they then want to hunt Nazis for the FBI. So in the last like two pages, this book gets hella awesome, but up until that point you're just like, where am I going? Like, it's like driving blind. I don't know what's going on. Oh, that's the point. But it was a good ride. I thought it was fun. Definitely check it out. Number one came out this week, or yeah, this Wednesday, yesterday. So check it out. Bo, what do you got?
I'm going to start off with Amazing Spider-Man. I don't really get into a ton of Marvel and whatnot, and I kind of jump in whenever big stories are happening with Amazing Spider-Man. So you got Amazing Spider-Man 48 or 49 and 50, and these are the cool Green Goblin covers because they're just too cool for me to pass up. So there you go. They're still out there, so grab them. But it all led up, Sin Eater, old character that some may have recognized, some may not. But as soon as I saw Sin Eater on the cover when they first started the story, I wanted to jump into it. goes in how he's cleansing everybody's sins and all these bad guys are turning good. Well, it's time for him to go after Norman Osborn, and he is able to cleanse Norman during all this. Peter makes a decision, throws him, and says, you know, I'm going to let it happen because all it's going to do is Norman's going to kill somebody again. Well, lingering in the background, we've always had Kindred for some, like, the first issue of this. And that's what I've been waiting for. When are they going to get to this Kindred story? Turns out, spoiler alert, if you have not read this yet, turns out Kindred is going to be Harry Osborn. So some potentially coolness going on. You got the whole Spider-Verse kind of in there. Spider-Gwen, yes. Also known as Spider-Gwen. But Miles is in there. I mean, everybody. Yes, Ghost Spider. Yes. But they're all in there. It's a cool mix. Really enjoying it. Plus, you get some Green Goblin goodness, and that's always a plus. So,
awesome
story so far. Continue on.
All right, my second book, which has been very, I guess there's been a good buzz about it, is Rorschach number one from Tom King. I really thought this was really good, considering it takes place after what I think is the Watchmen TV show, because they mention the Oklahoma thing again. And I think regular Rorschach may actually be alive if I'm reading it right. But it's laid out,
fingers crossed.
it's laid out like an actual Watchmen book. And it read well. I thought it was paced a little bit better than Doomsday Clock. Like, this was kind of like the pacing I wish Doomsday Clock and the story style Doomsday Clock would have been. This is what I wish it would have been. And I dug it, though. I really thought it was good. I'm just curious to find out how that Rorschach ended up there. Like, instead of dying at the end of the first one, did he just get bloop into the future?
Yeah, anything's possible there. They can do whatever. So hopefully it continues to be good. I give it some more time. So,
all right.
This was a toss up. What I wanted to do, if you guys haven't tried them out yet, see if you can pick them up. I'm still unsure, so I'm not going to review them yet. Concrete Jungle was really cool. I'm not sure how I feel about it, so I'm not going to review it yet. Check it out though. See for yourself. And then Devil's Red Bride, which was, if you like a good samurai story, check it out. But my book of the week that I was really excited for to come out was We Live by Aftershock. It was the most excited book I was for this week. Basically, nature has turned on the human population, and an alien population that just seems like it's weird. It's like an alien world almost. But an alien population has said that they're going to rescue 5,000 kids. Could be city kids that seem like they're more privileged. And then you have your like backwater kids and they got to get them all there to save them. The art's awesome. Really, really good read to try out and see what's going on. We don't know too much yet, but just a survival story and whatnot. And Aftershock makes some quality books with just the way they're put together. It's a quality book, cool fold out cover for the main cover. That's how you do a nice wraparound cover. Let me tell you.
It was very cool.
It was cool. Yeah. Wraparounds and whatnot, but check it out. My book of the week for sure. Done by the Miranda brothers. So really cool. Really cool.
All right. So, I think the guy that lettered that book letters stuff for Valiant, by the way.
Who was it?
It's in the back of the book, Bo, like in the very back where they like introduced the creative team. I remember looking at that and being like, oh, I can't remember what his name is, but he totally did some Valiant work.
Dave Sharp?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, Dave Sharp. Dave Sharp is lettering Bloodshot for us right now and Rye for us right now, I believe. Bloodshot number 9, which also came out this week.
You mean this one?
Ooh, that one was the gorgeous Tyler Kirkham cover.
I guess I could have just looked down here and saw Dave Sharp's name. This is my honorable mention for the week. Mostly because I don't often do hold the book up and wear the shirt at the same time.
Ooh.
but also I'm a big fan of Tim Seeley and he's been kind of killing it. So, I mean, everything he's been putting out, that Money Shot, a lot of other stuff he's been putting out has been just been running
on fire right now.
Right?
Sure. Yeah.
So speaking of my shirt, this is one of the awesome things I have received from Valiant over the years. Now you guys are before we get into super Valiant stuff, I just want to tell this quick story. Then I'm going to tell everybody about how you and I met, and then we'll go in from there. So the quick story about how awesome you guys are at marketing is you guys partnered with Warped Tour a couple years ago. And I got to go out and hang out at Warped Tour on Valiant's dime with a booth. Unfortunately, they put me beside the spray yourself off booth. So we had to actually like tent it off. So nothing of our paper got wet, but it was still cool to see a giant EXO and a giant live wire, like on the sides of the stage. I got this awesome Bloodshot shirt to wear. My wife always makes fun of it because it has a belt. You can see part of his butt and the nipples are like in the armpit. So, but you guys have always been great about marketing stuff. Like I to this day, I have a Valiant box cutter in my pocket all the time. And I'm always like, where's my Ninjak? Where's my Ninjak? All right, so Matt and I have known each other for at least 5 years now, if I'm right.
I would say, yeah, it's probably about five.
Because you were at the very first Three Rivers Comic Con.
Yes,
it
was.
And that is where we met. Yes. I sent you on a mission to get a Permanis Brothers sandwich.
I was thankful to be on that mission. It worked out really great for me.
Oh, yeah.
A complete success.
And ever since then, you guys have always partnered with us for the show. I think except for year two, I think we missed because I think it was the same weekend as maybe Motor City.
I think so. Oh, no, yeah. We've never done Motor City.
Oh, it was something else.
Show, though. I think yeah. There was another show that weekend, though.
Right. Yeah. Then I got to meet Julie 1 year. And then last time I got to hang out with Danny. who I found out knows literally everyone I know because she used to work at JHU with Vito. And which case, you know, our black books are the same at that point. but, you know, you and I have had some awesome hangouts. We were at the very first Keystone Comic Con together.
Yes, we were. We were at the bar pretty late that night, as I recall. Yes.
So at that meeting, I actually finally got to hear a lot about how you got into comics and what you did and where you used to work and what you did. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about you, and then we'll just go right into some Valiant books and what you guys got going on and coming out.
So my comics origin story is a weird one, but it's mine, so I have to own it. So I did not grow up reading comics. Like, my uncle would buy me a book here and there, like Death of Superman, things like that, just all the big stuff. It was like, don't worry, this Death of Superman, this is your college education one day. And I was like, ah. This explains so much about my uncle, by the way, just so you know. But honestly, like, I really started getting into, like, I was Batman the Animated Series, like the cartoons as a kid, I was all there. The Spider-Man show from the mid-90s where they weren't allowed to, like, punch people. Right. Stuff like that. They weren't allowed to have guns. But it was actually in college because there was a really cute girl down the hall who read comics of my freshman year dorm, and she was reading 52, the weekly series.
Oh, wow.
And was telling me about it.
That's a keeper right there.
I knew nothing. So I was just like, all right, I need to start reading comics so I can talk to this really cute girl who I never had the nerve to actually properly ask out because that's who I was in college. Samantha Sharon, I still remember her name, but that's all awesome. These years later. But then after college, I started working at Forbidden Planet in Manhattan, and that was my shop basically that I went to get into books. And I was there for a few years, and then in 2014, Valiant was looking to expand their sales department. Mm-hmm. And so they went to Forbidden Planet and they asked a coworker of mine if he was interested in interviewing. And he was like, nah, I want to be a comic book writer and I want to devote all my time to that, but there's a guy I work with that you should absolutely talk to. And so I pretended like I knew anything about anything other than just hand selling comics. And it took about 2.5 months or something like that and 4 interviews. And I finally got the gig. And so I started as a sales rep. And so my my goal was like talking to shops like you guys and just finding out and developing that relationship of saying, what do you need? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What can I be doing for you? How can we, you know, activate those customers and get them to try Valiant? How can we get their first Valiant book in their hand? Was there for about 2 years where I made box cutters, axes, time capsules, standees. What other stuff?
You mean the Eternal Warrior axes, right?
Which one? Like
the Eternal Warrior axes. The
Eternal Warrior axe. That was my baby.
The 4001 AD time capsules, right?
I handled every single element of that 4001 AD time capsule.
That's
awesome. I got the book translated to Japanese. I got the lithographs made. I hand stickered everything. I got the stickers made on there. That was, and I'm sad to say that was my baby, the best idea I ever had.
That is awesome.
It's still cool.
They were really a hot deal, man.
It was like, great. Yeah. It was great. What was amazing is, so this was a promotion from, I think it was 2015. For those of you watching or listening who don't know it. So it was an event series and it takes place 2000 years in the future of our continuity. So what we did was we sent a time capsule. We didn't tell anybody what was in it. We just said, there's a lot of stuff. And we asked people, you can get this time capsule for free. All you have to do is promise to put it near your cash register for 4 months and not open it. You had to wait until the last issue came out on sale and then you could open it. And people were like having parties and taking photos. What was amazing, but like we were convinced like, oh, someone's going to open this, right? And then they're going to tweet about it. They're going to put stuff on sale and no one did. It was amazing. Every store waited those 4 months. It was one of the coolest things.
I remember having it like in a case. Like we had to put it in a glass case by the counter because everybody kept trying to want to open it. And then, if I remember right, there was different stuff in each capsule. Like it wasn't identical each capsule. They were very similar though.
They were very similar. I think it was the lithographs. We switched up like which pairing, not by a ton. My favorite thing in there was the coins. We actually had coins made, which was so cool.
I have one somewhere in my house.
Oh God. So I think I have 5,000 of them somewhere in a drawer. If you need more, I'll find them for you. Danny definitely has them.
The coolest thing that I have laying around here somewhere though, that I got at a, Comics Pro meeting, was the Exo ring that I got when I got to hang out with Matt Kent. Man, was he a cool dude. That was when he was writing EXO. Oh man, it's good. Sorry to interrupt. Keep going.
No, you're fine. I mean, one of the cool things about us is like we're shameless promoters.
You're not wrong.
I mean, recently we did like the Magic 8-Ball for Dr. Mirage was super cool, and we customized all the responses in it, which was great. We did standees for the latest EXO Manowar series, and we've got some ideas for stuff coming up too, like the new Ninjak series and The Harbinger, and we got some ideas for you guys to see.
Nice.
And then I've got. So I was with Valiant for 2 years full time at that point. And then December of 2016, I actually went back to retail and I was with Valiant part time, still in the sales department. But I kind of missed the hand selling element and wanted to try my thing. And we were doing 40 shows a year in 2015, you know, two con kits on opposite coasts. Yeah. And it was burnout city after a while. So I just needed a bit of a break from full time. And then 2018 in May, I got a phone call from Fred Pierce and was told, Fred. Hey, you want to come back and run? Fred's the best. Fred's amazing. I got a call and said, do you want to run the sales department? And I said, sure. In December of 2018, they were like, do you also want to run the marketing department? And I was like, sure. why not? And so since December 2018, I've been the vice president of both sales and marketing. So I oversee Danny and John and the sales team there, who work with the retailers like yourselves, coming up with the incentives, messaging to them, promotions through Diamond. And then I'm also in charge of the marketing department with my guy, Greg Katzman. And we handle the messaging for public facing, the licensees and everything that you see there as well. So like the awesome. Last week we had the big announcement for the Harbinger, which was on the Hollywood Reporter. Then yep. we had new interviews on CBR and then another interview on Screen Rant and then AIPT. And then we had the Metaverse panel on Sunday, and Greg was the mastermind orchestrating all of that. And so I am very fortunate in that I get to be the guy that oversees these incredible teams of really passionate, valiant fans who are incredibly good at what they do. And we have a hell of an operation there. And so that is where I come from.
The crazy backstory of one Matthew Klein.
The punchline is that the person who was going to be interviewed for Valiant and recommended me is Matthew Rosenberg, who is one of my favorite human beings in comics.
What?
Yes, cool. Said, if not this Matthew, there's another Matthew that you should talk to.
Oh, wow. I would love to talk to that Matthew.
That Matthew's great. I would love to talk to that Matthew, too. That Matthew's insanely hard to get a hold of.
Yeah, he's like hella busy right now, right?
He is.
Oh, man. Yeah, because I think I tried to reach out to him about coming to the show last year, and it was just like, I don't even think I got a response because he was so busy.
He's insane. You got to stay on that guy. Yeah. No, Matt was, I loved it because with Matt, Vita Ayala was also working with us at the same time. We all three of us worked for several years, as well as Danny Lorick, who the Queen of Dreams for Vault and co-wrote James Bond with Vita. So like, I always tell Forbidden Planet, it's like, why do you not have an alumni section on your website? Because you got so many people who've gone into like, we also had somebody who was like at Fantagraphics for a few years, like on the back end side. People have gone marketing for other publishers. So it's insane to me. But Matt was always like really averse to being known as a writer. Like he didn't want anybody to recognize him.
Right.
And he was working on a comic for Ghostface Killer called 12 Reasons to Die.
Yep.
It was like his first thing. And we used to just, to sell the book more, we would just say, hey, here's the story. And the writer actually works here if you want to get an autograph. And by the way, he loves to be hugged. So ask him first, but he's a big hugger.
That's awesome.
He hated it. It was good. Oh, it was so good.
He did an awesome Punisher storyline with the Punisher War Machine.
Yes.
With a buddy of mine that did the art.
Really?
Yeah. And now his brain, my mind is slipping. He's going to kill me if he ever watches this. Matt Horak. That's it.
There you go.
Yeah. He's just over in Ohio. He's a great dude. He went on to do like Spider-Man Deadpool for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He did our show last year. He was really great. I saw him in a couple other things, and you know, it's really cool to see him outside of show because like, he's just basically just a big nerd like the rest of us. You know, like I ran into him. I looked for him all New York Comic Con last year. Couldn't find him. He was never at his booth when I walked by. And the last night I'm heading into town to a steak place to have dinner with a bunch of my friends down at Times Square. And I'm walking there and he walks out of his hotel like, to get in his cab. And I'm like, I waited for you all weekend, dude.
That's a very mad thing to have happen.
Yeah.
He was actually one of the first guys I ever got a sketch from.
Oh yeah.
And he did a man bat in a suit. Like a bust. It is. I still have it in Fancy. My portfolio. Great.
That's awesome. All right. So let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff you guys got coming up. Like you sent us some really awesome stuff that we can't share to everybody, but we will tell you that it was awesome. Savage the Wild, number one, right?
I'm so excited for that.
Oh, dude. I read that and I thought, holy crap, this is like a great book for like young adult.
Yes.
The art in it is probably some of the best art I've seen out of the Valiant stable in a long time.
Really good.
Yeah. And it fits so well. And I just really thought it was great. The last time I thought the art fit the writing that well is the current Archer and Armstrong, or not Archer and Armstrong, the Quantum and Woody.
Ryan Brown.
Yeah. Man, was that awesome.
No, I'm so glad you guys dug it. So, I mean, for those of you watching who aren't familiar, so Savage is actually a character who was born originally on an island that is uncharted, that has dinosaurs on it, and his parents were essentially the Beckhams, right? Victorian David. Yep. And he finds himself at the beginning of the story and at the end of the last one, technically, in London. And this kind of wild child who, you know, is used to just hunting dinosaurs his whole life, kind of this like Tarzan Turok sort of archetype. And Max Bemis, rock star Max Bemis, Moon Knight writer Max Bemis.
Yep.
And Nate Stockman, who's the artist on there, who is just so mind-blowingly perfect for this book. They pick up with Savage being in London 2019, 2020, and just like what he has become a year in civilized world, and creates this insanely cool kind of madcap adventure story using the sort of fish out of time, fish out of water element. And it is just some of the most fun I've had with a Valiant book in a while.
It was a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
And to your point, like we totally envision this book as appropriate, that you can definitely sell this for young adult readers, right? Mm-hmm. You can definitely get fathers and sons and sisters and mothers, like many people of many ages could jump in and enjoy this. And it is completely new reader friendly. Like this could be your very first comic and you would get it and you would understand why comics are fun. And that's part of the mission statement here. Like for everything we've got coming up, editorial has been really great at, we want this number one issue to not just be someone's first Valiant book, but could it be their first comic book ever? And that's been the mandate for over a year now. And that's really something we take pride in.
I think you kind of nailed it with this.
We've got coming up, it's going to be sooner than later. You're going to hear the announcement of exactly when it's coming back. And so keep an eye peeled, honestly, for even like early November, I think you guys are going to hear it on one of the bigger sites. We've got the announcement scheduled for it. The creative team is so ready to go. The first two issues are completely drawn at this point too.
Nice.
We're going to have a really fun like 1 in 20 cover on there too. So for some of the collectors and chasers, you're going to have a little something extra as well. So
excellent.
My goal though is I'm trying to get Max Bemis to do an original song as Savage.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be so cool. It'd be so cool. But no, I'm so glad you guys dug it. Did I send you issue two or just issue one?
Just issue one, I think.
Oh, I'll take care of that after this.
Yeah. You did send us issue two of Exo Manowar,
yes.
Which it wasn't colored, but that's okay because it was still killer.
I gotta save something for you guys.
Nah, it's fine. I'll still buy it. I mean, come on, I love Exo. So, but it was so... I thought that book was the bad part is number one came out before the shutdown.
I know.
So yeah. A lot of people are going to have to kind of hope that shops still have it in the store. There it is.
There it is.
It's a refresh myself.
But I really thought the storyline, it moved well. I don't know if you're reading the new Spider-Woman book from Marvel, but it feels a lot like that kind of vibe. Like, kind of a reinventing, but also having this like more of a James Bondy Earth vibe to it this time, which is a lot different than what Matt was doing on his whole giant crazy space arc. But I really thought it was good. I love Exo for a long time. I know one of our other managers, Ryan, loves Exo a lot too.
Oh, tell Ryan I said hi, please.
Will do.
I am so excited for people to be discovering this latest Exo Manowar series from Dennis Hopeless Hallam, who knows a little something about Spider-Woman, and Emilio Lieso. I think one of the cool things is that Exo Manowar, I think that this series especially is focusing on a relationship that doesn't always get to be the focal point, which is him and Shannara, right, and his armor. And I think that there's this incredible dynamic that Dennis is really exploring into great detail. And I think that one of the cool things about this is that Eric Avdasia, who inhabits the Exo Manowar armor, he is a man who is absolutely right. He understands exactly what honor is, what is right, what is wrong. He does not question it, for better or worse. And what's really cool about this series is that he is a man in search of community. He is a warrior looking for a people to defend. And he's looking for a way in which to be the protector of the world of today. And what he's learning is that, does he have to question the absolute right and absolute wrong that he knows of? And for a warrior who's born out of trauma, who is born out of watching his people be enslaved on that alien spaceship, who is born out of intergalactic warfare in that sense, to come in and have such a personal but increasingly grand story throughout is really cool. And so it's one of those things where at Valiant, we don't like to tell the same story over and over and over and over again. We want new. We want something. We want to explore a new side. We want to push the characters into discovering new elements of themselves that you haven't seen before. And I think that this team is really doing that in a very interesting way that you haven't really seen before. And that's cool. It's different. And it's an evolution of the character and of this key relationship between him and Shannara that only gets crazier the more it goes on. But the end of Exo Man of War 2, which is coming out November 25th, so pre-order now to make sure you're not sold out. But I love the ending of that because there's a line in there that makes me feel and relate to this character more than I think at any single point towards the end there. And it's just, it's beautiful. And it's just gets crazier from here on out. So
yeah, cool. It definitely felt to me like way more like a sentimental end. And mm-hmm. I always like when publishers do like the out of the box thing with their character. Like, I don't like the same old boring, you know, okay, they're going to fight this guy and they're going to win and blah, 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 blah. I like when they do like crazier things. Like I think that's why I like Matt Fraction a lot. Sure. Cause like what he did with Iron Man when he did like the disassembled run, mm-hmm. like that was insane. What he did with Hawkeye,
best Iron Man, you know, best Iron Man run of all time, in my opinion,
right?
Actions, I love.
Oh yeah, and like same with Justin Jordan. He does a lot of different things, like he did with Green Lantern, whatever
New Guardians.
Yeah, that was it. I was like the one with Kyle in it. But then he also did that whole kind of new vibe with Shadow Man for you guys mm-hmm. that I thought went really well. You know, and then you know, obviously Matt Kent taking Exo into a new whole.
Yep.
Completely different world, aging him up a little bit, you mm-hmm. know, like all those wars that he had to fight and how, yeah. you know, like just weirdly depressed he was, but had to fight it. Like it was awesome. Like I really dug everything that does. And like Archer and Armstrong, like has always been a big favorite of mine. So when Rafer did A&A, that was cool. Mm-hmm. You know, and your eyes are always looking to reinvent the characters, which is really good. So I guess that leads me to the question of, so tell everybody who Harbinger is and what's the deal is with the new announcement and when can we see it in shops?
All right.
How about that for a segue?
I want to backtrack 1 second because there's something about Exo I forgot to say to your point. So issue one did come out pre-shutdowns, right, in March. We are actually going to be offering to a lot of accounts a free overship for a few copies of Exo Manowar number one to arrive the same day as Exo Manowar number two. So you awesome. Guys are actually going That's to be able cool. to have a few copies there. So if anybody's wondering like, oh, what is this? You can give it to them right then and there. Awesome. So they have one and two with you.
That's cool. That's a cool idea.
Yeah,
yeah. And awesome. And at the very least, it's going to remind shop owners, oh yeah, I might have this in the back somewhere. So that's a cool thing. So you guys are the first one to hear that. I literally got that okayed by Diamond today. So it's a little breaking news for you guys.
Excellent.
Tell your owners. Tell your buyers. So The Harbinger. Let's talk about The Harbinger. So The Harbinger is focusing on a character named Peter Stanchek, who is destined probably to be either the greatest man that ever lived or the destroyer of the entire world. He is an Omega level Psyot. He is a teenager who will have the power to create or destroy the universe, basically. And the question is, which will he do? And this is part of the journey. Peter, for The Harbinger, we have this new series announced. It's got the written by Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly, who did Joyride. A few other things you might have seen. They've got a few other books out there. And then the art is by the incomparable Robbie Rodriguez. You were mentioning Spider-Gwen and Ghost Spider earlier. Yep. Robbie is the co-creator for Spider-Gwen / Ghost Spider. I'll never be able to say one without the other. And we're really excited. And this book is picking up with Peter Stanchek, who, when you open it, and you can see it in the art that we've already given, he opens in a room that it looks like it's been destroyed, and there's two words on the wall that says, be better. And Peter is going to be learning who he is, who the world thinks he is, who the world tells him he's supposed to be, and then he's going to say, to hell with you on all of it. Because the cool thing about Harbinger, the property of Harbinger is about revolution. It is about generational conflict. It is about people telling you who you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to become, and you going, hell no, that's not who I am. I'm going to dictate that. And then you might be wrong. They might be right. Maybe you should go in this direction. And so you never know who the villain or the hero of the story is. But this is Peter's journey to becoming maybe the hero of the Valiant universe or maybe the villain. And it is so, like, the artwork in here, the energy and the love that's being put into this book. And I use that word purposefully, the love being put into this book, like it's going to vibrate in your hands. That's how alive this thing is going to feel when you pick it up.
And it's a little creepy, but I'm okay.
We got new characters, new allies, kick-ass villains in here. And what's cool is that if you are familiar with Harbinger, everything that has come before has led you to this moment that begins issue one. But for a new reader, this is the most accessible story I think we've ever created. It is perfect for someone who knows nothing about Peter Stanchek, who knows nothing about Valiant. Again, this is someone's ideal first comic. And this is a very like punk rock, grungy, F you to the world kind of a story that I'm so excited for people to see. It is coming out next summer. You will hear more about that date as we get into 2021. And you will also see some more announcements about it. The kind of crazy ass covers we're going to do, the promotion that we're going to put behind it. But we wanted to really make sure that going into the last quarter of 2020, we all deserve something cool right now for making it this far. So heck yeah, we're going to bring back and say, here comes the Harbinger.
And oh, that's awesome.
Get it going.
That's super cool. I'm excited. That also reminds me of, when will I get more punk mambo?
Well, that's what I was just getting. I've been thinking that the whole time. Waiting. Say punk mambo. Say it.
So I take it you two were fans.
What?
Yeah.
So great. No, she's an amazing character. You're going to see that announcement probably early 2021. We'll be able to say a little bit more about when Punk Mambo could be coming. But we've got Cullen Bunn and Adam Gorham are going to be back on that book. The when, the where, the how, and what. I still have to tease you guys with. I'm really excited to have more adventures. She's on the docket. She's on the schedule. That's awesome. For sure.
We both turned a lot of new readers onto that book. Mm-hmm. Awesome. A lot of people that had never touched Valiant books before. Mostly because we're both fans of like Constantine type characters and like Swamp Thing, like that kind of mystic arts thing. And she falls right in there.
Yeah.
I talked to Colin Bunn about that at the last time I saw him at Baltimore this time last year. Last Civilization.
What Civilization?
What is outside my home?
But what's really cool is, like, look at the characters we're talking about, right? You've got Punk Mambo, who fits that, like, supernatural detective sort of Constantine vibe. You've got Exo Manowar, that is a very, like, Thor in the Iron Man suit with a little bit of Superman vibe in there. You've got the Harbinger, which is that grungy, like, man against the world sort of punk vibe. Then you've got Savage, which is a totally different flavor, right? That kind of young adult, social media icon who's a feral dinosaur hunter and what he's going to do in modern London. And what's really cool is that there's truly a valiant book for every reader, no matter what your taste, no matter what your palate, who you identify with as a character. We got somebody with you. And that's the thing that's so fascinating, because you've heard me say this, John, a bunch, is like, you know, where do people start in the Valiant universe? Where do you enter? It really depends on who you are, but we have an entry point just about anywhere. And once they read one Valiant book, they're going to go, what else is there? And they get more into it. And that's the cool thing. So
did you guys see an uptick in sales to retailers since the Bloodshot movie has come out?
We were definitely seeing some uptick, especially for Bloodshot itself.
Okay.
You know, we were getting a little bit of that movie bump. We were also seeing a huge uptick for the trade paperbacks, you know, because we had done the definitive edition, volume one, which basically has like 14 issues of comics that influenced the film. Perfect jumping on points for, like, I think it was $24.99. So we also put into the world this like really big, thick, like start here kind of deal. So we were seeing a ton of orders on that. We're still seeing good orders on it, quite frankly. The Tim Seeley run that we talked about, which volumes one and two are out. Volume three is coming out, I think, next month. Those volumes are all $9.99 each. So a good price point there. And so it's really easy to catch up. We've got the new arc coming out in January called One Last Shot. That we're really super dope for. You're actually going to see a couple of the movie characters are going to make their debut in that arc. So you've got like some first full appearances in issue 10 this January. Issue 9 just wrapped up the latest arc, Burned. So, you know, it's running and revving. And what's cool about that too is like, we just really dug the characters from the film. And so we were like, there's a place for these guys in the books. It wasn't like we were asked to do it. We just were like, that's cool. Let's bring this in. And we took it to Tim and he was like, sure, why not? Let's make it happen. So
that's awesome.
So it's really neat.
I remember being like, oh, cool, I'm going to go see this in the theater. And then the world shut down. Like that weekend. Watched
it at home?
Yeah, I did. I watched it at home. I enjoyed it. I watched it at least three times.
Wow.
I really thought, and I spoke to Danny about this one time since then, but I thought they nailed the Bloodshot character as the character of Bloodshot. I really thought they nailed that. Everybody else, like, there were a couple points where I was like, oh, but for the most part, it was kind of like pretty vanilla, like action movie, but the action scenes were excellent.
That scene with the trucks and the flower.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Like in the tunnel. Holy crap. Mm. Was that crazy? I was just like, that scene makes this movie worth it, like, for people to watch it. But there was a lot of good stuff in it. And I was curious to know if some of the newer characters that did not exist in the comic series that were in the film were going to come about and vice versa. And
here it comes.
I'm excited for it.
AT and Wiggins will make their debut in Bloodshot number 10. In January too. So we're really excited. There was a little bit of an appearance there at the end of number 9 too, in that last page. There's a little bit of a cameo there.
Mm-hmm.
And then KT showed up a little bit in the Free Comic Book Day at the very end there. So we've been teasing these characters for a while and getting them ready to make their Valiant Universe debut.
That's awesome.
And that yes, cool. Don't worry guys, Bloodshot keeps his hair in the comics. I gotta say it over and over and over again. He's got it there.
I will say that was the only weird thing.
I get it. No, listen, dude, I get it. And one of the cool things is like, it's a real, like, to talk to you guys and to be able to come on here and to interact with the fans the way that we do, like, to have such a fervent fan base for these characters is, it's a privilege, you know, and it's not something that we take lightly, and it's something that we consider a real honor to be able to do this with them. And, you know, and that everyone has that sense of ownership of these characters and that investment in these characters. And that's really lovely. And that's really cool. And, you know, and they tell you what they like and they tell you what they don't like, and that's okay too, man. And it's what makes fandom so neat. And you know, we can always have a conversation, and they always know that we're doing it with love and that we've got more coming, and that's really neat.
Right. I mean, but you gotta think about it. Like, you guys doing the Bloodshot movie, it was already years beyond, like, when you think about, like, older Marvel movies, like, sure, like real old Marvel, like the Dolph Lundgren Punisher movie, like, it was way beyond that. You know, I dare say it was at least as good as the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies, because it actually had a decent budget. The story flowed well. The characters were understandable and relatable. There were scenes though, like where they were going into the memory and just stuff started building, that I was just like, holy crap. Like, that's like Marvel Studios, like, level killer CGI, man. Like, there was a lot of really good stuff in there.
They brought their game, man. They really brought their game for it. We were so excited. You know, I mean, it was our first feature film, and, you know, it's one of those things. I remember getting to see it at Sony. They had a screening room in New York set up for us.
That's awesome.
The whole thing through the first time, and just like, you know, I remember I was with a buddy. We were watching Bad Boys for Life, and the trailer came on, and it was the first time I got to see it, like, in a big screen with a full audience, and hearing people go, "That looks pretty good," and I was just like, "Yeah,
yes, it is."
A special go to the thing movie. To go through. You know, it's special. It's a cool thing to get to be a part of, and you know, I've been there again since 2014, so I've been around since the deal was signed for Bloodshot, and to really finally see it up there it meant a lot. It was really cool. And on to the next, man. Ready for Harbinger and what they're gonna do with it. So
nice. All right, so we're getting toward the end. So I have two fun questions, and then I'm gonna share another fun story about me and you at a con.
All right. As many questions as you want.
Okay,
I'm here.
So unless Bo has any, but I have two.
I got one.
Okay, let me do my first one, then you can do one, and I'll do the last.
I like this game.
So my first one is, if this crazy pandemic world we're living in were a Valiant Universe comic book, who would be the creative team and who would be the hero that figures out how to get back to normal?
to kind of undo it is what you're saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Reset it?
Or to like get us to that next step where the world goes back to normal.
I think that the creative team, it would probably be co-written by Cullen Bunn and probably Joshua Dysart.
Okay. I could see that.
I think co-written there. I think the artwork would be Robbie Rodriguez probably. And then I think as far as the heroes that would put it right, I think would probably be a combination of the Immortal Brothers, Archer, Ivar, and Galad, with a little help probably from Shadow Man, is my guess.
I was thinking along those exact lines. So
there you go.
All right. All right, Bo, what's your question?
I really just, I'm hoping that you guys can continue on with like the 4001 AD and the Fallen World storyline. I love that with Father and Ra. I just hope, I guess it's not much of a question, more of a plea. Continue on. I love that like far-flung future aspect of it. It was so cool to me. So
no, I think Rye has been, I mean, I love what Dan Abnett and Juan Jose Rip are doing on that title. And Andrew Dollhouse does not get enough credit as the colorist on there.
There's all
another one, Dave Sharp, you know, just kills it on the letters. And I think that it's a great creative team. I think there's so much to that world and to that timeline.
There is.
My dream is to someday we get to the point where it's like 3-4 books a month just on that timeline. That's my goal someday when we get past all of the pandemic and we can move on. So if you want it, tell your customers to buy it.
I do. I love that more so than Punk Mambo even, but yeah,
like, tell them, you know,
Fallen World was just a perfect follow up to me.
I know that Dan's got a ton more stories to tell in this. I know that Juan Jose Rip loves this world. I know that, the editor on there, Lisa, it's near and dear to her heart, and we would love to keep telling more stories in there, and we've got a lot more stories to tell. when and how you're going to see him, we'll see, because we're gearing up with that one. They're reaching an interesting place where we might want to try something pretty epic there too. So stay
tuned. I'm fine with that. Two for two for me. So nice. So it was good.
All right. So the craziest question.
Go.
Who wins in the fight? Vin Diesel Bloodshot or Jason David Frank Bloodshot?
Oh, Vin Diesel.
Because I don't know how many people listening watch the Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe on YouTube, but that was excellent as well.
And listen, when you ask me tomorrow, I might say Jason David Frank. But for tonight, for your live stream, I want to feel the hate. I'm going to say Vin Diesel.
That is fair. That is fair. But no,
listen, they're two very different versions of it. One had a much bigger budget than the other two is the other thing you got to think on. But like, I was on set for Ninjak Versus. Like, I was there the day they filmed the fight scene in episode 3 between Michael Rowe and Jason David Frank. So I got to hang out with JDF. He was a great guy. He was so sweet. He was so passionate about the character. And I was sitting with him while he was in the makeup chair, while he was like getting the paint on and everything. Just such a super cool dude and cool. So great to talk to. The whole cast there was great. And I'm a big pro wrestling fan, so to get to meet John Morrison, play the Eternal Warrior in that.
Nice. Yeah. He did a great job in that too.
He did a wonderful job in there too. No, it was cool. I may or may not have a prop or two from that whole thing in my apartment somewhere.
I
confirm or deny.
I just remember that I got to hang out at the Valiant booth at New York and get some Bloodshot signed by Jason David Frank a couple years ago. That was really awesome. That made my sister's Christmas. She is a giant awesome. Jason David Frank fan. And when she opened it, she was like, "Holy crap, this is awesome." So I was like, "I don't even think you know who Bloodshot is, but it's cool."
John, I'm going to turn the question on you. Who wins?
Oh, I think Jason David Frank would win. My reasoning, his Bloodshot had hair.
Power Ranger wins. Come on, man. Power Ranger wins all the time.
It's morphin' time, baby.
It is.
There's going to be some kind of huge like comment section on this later.
I can't wait. Bring it on.
Right?
Listen, dude, that Ninjak Versus just crossed like 3 million views on YouTube, so bring it on.
That's awesome. All right. So another fun story that I remembered was I can't remember what book it was, but it was at Baltimore, and you guys had made the glass cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember you guys were like, "Dude, check this out." It was like looking at the Ark, right? It was like, "Oh, like check out this cool thing that no one else sees." And I believe the reason you had it there was you were giving it to CGC to see how they would be able to grade it, right?
Yes.
And all I remember is running into you later, and then we walk into like the hotel, or I can't remember if it was at the convention center or at the hotel, but they're like beating this thing with a chair, with a hammer. Mm-hmm. They're dropping it off the balcony and they can't get it to scratch at all. And we're just like, "Cheers, another one. Let's go."
So that was it, Bo. So what they did was they cased it, and then they took a chair and they tried to like scratch it with the legs. That didn't work. They took the chair and they tried to smash it with the legs. That didn't work. They threw it against the walls. That didn't do anything. The only thing that ended up happening is their case broke and the glass cover was perfect. we tested it out like in our offices too. Like we put like 150 pounds of books on there and left it for 24 hours. Nothing. We threw it against the wall. We dropped it from 7 feet high. Nothing scratched that glass cover. It was amazing. And you can still get a gun. Like CBCS does grade those glass covers still. And even they were in the same vein. They were like, "We can't break them. I don't understand." And I was like,
NOs all day long.
All day long, man. All day long.
Oh, man. Well, I think that kind of wraps it up, unless you want to tease anything else cool, Valiant stuff. But
absolutely, I will.
Go for it, man.
Tease. One, Bloodshot number 9 came out this Wednesday. If you haven't read Burn, now's the perfect time. Pick it up. Check that out. Trade paperback's coming out sooner than later as well. Exo Manowar number 2 comes out next month, November 25th. Again, you're going to get more copies in your stores of issue 1 as well. So that's the perfect time. Jump on, give it a try. If you've not read it, you will not regret this. And it only gets bigger and bigger and crazier as it goes on and more personal. From there, keep your eyes peeled. We got some announcements coming out at the end of this month, just in time for Halloween. And the timing is purposeful for a certain character of ours. So you will see it on the YouTube, something we're very excited to share about when and where and how it's coming. And then, as I said, you're going to hear more about Savage sooner than you think. Check out early November. You're going to get some more info on that book. And for you two, I'm just going to keep sending you guys working copies as soon as these books are done so you can read it and tell the customers all about it. And stay safe, everybody, and stay together. And just, you know, I hope everyone's doing well during all this craziness and unprecedented time. And damn it, we deserve comics as the perfect way to take our minds off it. So,
well said, sir. And you too, stay safe. I know you're up in New York and it is crazy up there still. Is it ghost towny?
It's weirdly normal up here. It's been really cool, so we're good.
Okay, cool. I know for a while it was a little nuts, but
In the spring it was insane, but right now it's no. I still get yelled at by the same bodega owner as I always did. So
that's awesome.
Thank you for having me here to be in the inaugural live episode of the Toddcast.
Well, thank you for coming on, sir. It was great having you, and you're always welcome to come and hang out whenever you want to tease some new stuff or just hang out and talk comics. Even if you don't want to talk about Valiant stuff, you can just come and hang out. We don't care. I mean,
anytime you want me, let me know. We'll make it happen. I would absolutely want to come back.
Next time we should get Fred involved and he can tell us old stories of like Wizard World and stuff. It'll be great. So
he's got plenty of stories to tell.
Oh my God. He is one of my favorite dudes to just run into at shows and just sit around and just listen to him talk about stuff. Cause he is one of the nicest people on the planet. And he will bend over backwards for pretty much everybody. And he gives off this vibe of like he's kind of like the dad of Valiant, and everybody else just kind of doesn't want to disappoint dad, so they do everything that they're supposed to the way they're supposed to. And you guys are always some of like the best guys to hang out with at any show. I remember one time we were at a show and you guys were like, hey, we're going to see this band that I forget what they themed themselves after Valiant books.
A Sound of Thunder, I think it was.
Yeah, and you guys were like, you guys just want to go? And I was like, I have plans, but that's freaking awesome. And like, you know, it's always one of those things where you're never going to get turned away at the Valiant booth or with the Valiant guys. More shops should totally support you guys because I think you guys put out great product. And more people should definitely check out Valiant stuff. So if you're listening to this, and this was the should I check out Valiant part of your life, you should totally do it. There is some good stuff, especially if you don't really like what's going on in the big two. There's a lot of other stuff out there. A lot of our stores carry a lot of different stuff besides the big two for that reason.
Amen.
So definitely check that out. Again, Matt, thank you so much for coming on. I will be in touch.
I look forward to it.
Awesome. And for everybody listening, make sure you check us out on Spotify, on iTunes. We're working on iHeartRadio. We'll see how that goes. And remember, you can watch us live on Thursday nights now around 7 o'clock. And I think our next guest is, hold on a second. I can actually get that. Bo, talk about something for a second.
Is it Justin?
Am I wrong? I don't think so.
Everybody watch the Invincible
trailer. Crap, I forgot to talk
watch
about that.
While you're looking, watch the really Invincible cool. trailer. It's awesome. Can't wait. Super excited.
Oh, Okay, so next week is another one of my personal friends and an amazing artist, Sora Sung. In that episode next week, you're going to see how Kickstarters work. Because I backed her Kickstarter of Aurora. I left it sealed so people could see what it's like to get a Kickstarter to you. And she has a brand new one for a sketchbook starting next week. I believe next Wednesday. So that'll be the second day of it. And we'll be able to talk about it with her. She's great. Matt, if you need a cover artist for stuff, check her out. She is good. Amazing.
Shoot me your info. Seriously. Shoot me your info afterwards. I'll make sure it's on file.
So. Awesome, man. So, all right, cool. Well, thanks everybody for listening. I am John. With me as always is Bo. And our special guest was Matt Klein, the VP of Sales and Marketing from Valiant Entertainment, and all around swell dude. So thanks everybody, and I'm going to try to stop this live stream now. So night.